As I said, just so thankful that we can continue to be together, even if it is virtually in these days. And today we are focusing on Jesus as a teacher. And I'm guessing that most of us had a favorite teacher growing up, someone who both encouraged us and also challenged us to reach our potential. I want to encourage you to feel free today to maybe drop a shout out to your favorite teacher in the comments and maybe just one sentence about how they impacted you. I had quite a few teachers I had that I really appreciated growing up. Looking back, thinking about it this week, one of my favorites was probably Mr. Mix. And for me, he had a good balance between fun and focus on the classwork. And one of my favorite things about him was that, I don't remember if it was a weekly thing or like if it happened once a month or something, but he would bring his baseball card collection in regularly. And that would be spread across several tables in the back of the room. And if we got our homework done, we were allowed to just go back there and check out his baseball cards. And some of us would even make him trade offers because a lot of us were collectors. And it was fun because he would even entertain our trade offers. Now, Mr. Mix also had a bit of a temper, and when you got out of line, he let you know about it. He was known to yell at times and even slap a desk or two to get our attention, things that may not fly these days. But the great thing was you always knew where you stood, and he let you know when you were falling short, but he was also quick to be able to encourage you or maybe share a laugh with you when you were doing something great as well. And I think that good teachers are able to strike that balance. They're able to find the balance between knowing when that you just need them to wrap their arms around you and when to tell us the truth in order to spur us on to greater things. And these days, we are looking for teachers. We're looking for people to provide us with accurate information so that we can make wise decisions on what to do during these challenging days. We're looking for people to tell us that it'll be okay, that there'll be an end to this thing, an ending where we survive and where life returns to normal. People who will infuse us with hope instead of panic. Maybe even people who can teach us and help us to see the best in the people we're quarantined with. And if you're a parent or a student, you may be developing an extra appreciation for teachers during these times. Well, the good news is that there is one teacher, one who will always tell us the truth and who will help us reach our potential and even have some fun along the way. And that's Jesus. Today, as we've said, we're continuing our Knowing Him series with Him being Jesus. And the reality is, something that we've talked about is that we may recognize that we know a lot about Jesus, but somehow we've missed really knowing Jesus. And we believe that the key to experiencing a great life is gaining intimacy with Jesus. The key to experiencing a great life is gaining intimacy with Jesus. And therefore, that is our goal. Our goal is to know Him more and better. Now, we've gotten to know Jesus over the last few weeks as Emmanuel, God with us, the one who came to earth to help us navigate all of these things like we're facing now. And we've learned that He is the one friend who will never fail us or leave our side. And today we're going to look at Him as our primary teacher. In the Bible, in Matthew chapter 5, we find a crowd gathering around Jesus and His followers. There were many who gathered, and so the Bible tells us that in those moments, Jesus began to teach them. And what followed is probably the most famous sermon that has ever been preached. Here Jesus taught on topics in what we call the Sermon on the Mount. He taught on topics like how to be blessed, how to pray, how to help the poor, how to shine our light for others to see. But He also hit hot button topics. Topics like adultery, topics like divorce, taking revenge, how to keep our word, that we should be loving our enemies, and many more that were probably hard for people to receive in that space. Well, Matthew 7:28 says this. It says that when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at His teachings because He taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. The crowds were amazed. They were blown away by his teachings. And if it seemed like he taught with authority, it was because he did. Jesus said later that all authority on heaven and earth had been given to him by God the Father, Yahweh. And there is so much, so many different directions that we could go with this topic this morning. But we want to take a look at the three areas that, as we spent time in prayer this week, that felt would be the most encouraging or provide us the most guidance during these particular days. The first area that God teaches about that we want to focus on this morning is our limitless worth. Our limitless worth. On good days, on our good days, we may understand that we are loved and valued by God, and we may even hear that from the people around us. But there are probably many days that are challenging for us, especially during these days where we're isolated and where we look out and just wonder where the light is at the end of the tunnel. Well, the enemy of God, Satan, is working overtime during these days. Revelation 12:10 says that his role is this, that he is the accuser of our brothers and sisters, and that he accuses us before God day and night. The truth is that between him and our mind, which may be overwhelmed during these days, we're probably hearing plenty of messages about not being good enough, about falling short in any number of ways, or we could have any number of messages going through our heads about the future and what that may or may not hold. And while Satan finds joy in messing with us, God is the one that we should look to for truth this and every day. He has quite a different role and quite a different message. And we see just a small sample of that in Jeremiah 29:11. There it says, and this is God speaking to us. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." God is our encourager. God is our encourager. He is the one who tells us daily, if we listen, how beautiful and talented we are in his eyes. How he created us with this value that is unique to us to make the world a better place. About how even when things appear overwhelming, that he's there to support our mental and physical health and to meet our needs. And he tells us that a future does exist where we will be blessed. He tells us that while we will have trouble in this world, that trouble is a certainty, that we can take heart though because he has overcome the world. To the enemy or the voice of someone around us or our own mental struggles, we may be feeling worthless. But there is no number that we can put to it or no word that would accurately portray just how valuable we are to God. You, my friends, are loved. You're valued. And God wants you to know that no matter what comes your way, that you are not alone and that God is with you every step of the way. Another thing that God's teaching helps us understand is this, and it's the way past our stumbling blocks. The way past our stumbling blocks. And as God brought this to mind, and I prayed over it, I had the sense that this just wasn't a personal thing, but it was a message for the world as a whole. And as people thinking about teaching, we often like the encouraging side of teaching. The part that celebrates our strengths and highlights our achievements. But we don't get too thrilled often when it comes to the part of teaching that we really need as well. The part that allows us to become better and stretches us and makes us change in the areas where we're lacking. I'm just thinking about the world as I've looked at some of these things over the last few years. It's saddened me for several years just how much like the world the church has become. By the church, I mean the family, the people of God. How much like the world she's become in her language and her behaviors and her responses to the world around us. And it's been hard to watch the leaders of our country seemingly fight day after day rather than focus on how to make this world a better place. However, the spread of this virus has appeared to be really a great come to Jesus moment for everyone. As I look around, what I see is churches around the world who are working together. And it doesn't seem to matter what they believe theologically. But what leaders are doing is they're sharing and equipping each other as we continue to try and reach the people that God has called us to equip. And as we continue to try to spread the good news to a world who needs the hope that we have. And almost every day now in the news, there are articles about how members of the government are crossing party lines. How they're trying to figure out how to provide healing for those who are afflicted. Protection for those who are well. And how to resource those who are struggling financially. There are good things out there that are happening. And for me and my family, just thinking about the intensity of our schedule some weeks, it feels like there's a practice nearly every night of the week and some sort of meet or event or something going on. And just being able to be home at night with each other has been a tremendous blessing. And I've just loved just sitting back and listening to the laughter that fills the room as we're together. In these days, we'll be blessed if we can find the joy in every single moment. We'll be blessed if we can find the joy in every single moment. And thankfully, people seem to still be finding humor as well. Looking out at Facebook now, it seems like it shifted a bit from panic to just trying to find joy in life. Whether it's a picture of something like a baby otter holding its animal or memes about realizing that we didn't anticipate giving up quite this much for Lent. Or how we couldn't get along so well in the world, so God sent us to our rooms. You know, there are just a lot of people out there that are trying to find the best in these days and trying to find some humor in it as we wait. I want to encourage you, maybe take a moment in our comment section as you watch live, if you're on Facebook or the app there, and just write something that you have seen happen that has been encouraging in these days, something that has provided you hope. I think that whatever it is that was keeping us as apart or keeping us maybe at odds with each other as people with differing views, what's happening is that these days are providing us an opportunity to put aside our differences and to focus on what really matters. And that's loving God and loving our neighbor. Jesus told us those are the two things that he wants us to do above everything else in this world. Thinking about this, maybe idea of stumbling blocks and things that are holding us back. On a more serious note too, I think it's important for us to consider when it comes to things that can maybe cause us to stumble spiritually. And you see a bit of this out there, and I just want to throw this out there this morning, and it's this, and it's that I believe that what is happening in the world isn't happening because God doesn't care about us. It's not happening because God does not care. However, in a world that has become increasingly hostile to God, and that wants to push him away as far as possible, an extreme situation like this may be the only thing that could have got the attention of our world. In such a way that it causes people to look to God for help and for hope. Over and over in the Bible, and Bill read some of these scriptures earlier, the path to healing starts with repentance. It begins with both people and nations acknowledging that they've done wrong in the eyes of God and changing their ways. Which means that now is the perfect time for everyone, for all of us, to evaluate where we stand in the eyes of God and what changes we can make moving forward. God offers paths to relational and financial and physical healing. But the road to each one starts in the same place. And that's spiritual healing. spiritual healing. And spiritual healing is the starting place to navigate the stumbling blocks that we may be facing, whether that's as individuals or a nation or the world as a whole. And as we begin to heal spiritually, God teaches us as well. He wants to teach us the path to peace. The path to peace. On that Sermon on the Mount, Jesus was teaching us about how we shouldn't worry, and he was telling us that he sees our needs, and that he'll provide for things like food and shelter and clothes. And those are great promises that we can cling to in these days that may seem uncertain. And in those moments, Jesus, at the end of that, he speaks the truth, he speaks the key to navigating some of these things and taking hold of those promises and making them true in our hearts. And he says it's this. He says the key is to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And he says all these things then will be given to you as well. When we put Jesus first in our lives and when we seek to love our neighbor, that's what causes our confidence to well up within us and then to overflow. And we will receive peace, even when common sense says that we should panic. Similarly, Jesus also had to say this about the path to peace. In John 15:5, he says this. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. You can do nothing. Whether we like it or not, this path to peace that we're trying to find is very narrow. It's very narrow. It isn't found in relying on our own strength. It isn't found in the wisdom of doctors or the pockets of the government or anyone on earth. Now those are all good things and they can bring us some encouragement these days, but the true path to peace, the only one that leads to lasting peace, is found in a relationship with Jesus Christ. I want you to think about it this way for a minute. If we were to go to the grocery store and buy some grapes and we set them out on our table, how long would they stay fresh and healthy and pleasant to eat? Maybe a few days? Maybe a week or two if we're really lucky, without being connected to their vine. Well, God is saying here that it's the same with us. That we may be able to go hours or days or weeks or whatever on our own abilities, but that peace is unsustainable without the power of God at work in us. Staying connected to the source of peace, staying connected to Jesus, is the only way to achieve a peace that is not based on our circumstances, but is based on God's ability to provide for us and to bring good into our lives. Even when everything around us drives us towards fear, Jesus' message is speaking things like faith and hope and love and joy and patience and peace. And here's what it all comes down to, and this is really important, it's that true peace cannot be found apart from peace from God. True peace cannot be found apart from peace from God. If you take hold of anything today, take hold of that and seek that as a reality in your life. I was reading a story this week by Max Lucado, that seemed especially relevant for the days that we are in. It was a story about a doctor named Kent Brantley. And Kent was a medical missionary in Liberia on the front lines fighting against one of the cruelest viruses that we've known in the last 5 to 10 years, Ebola. Now while the spread of the COVID-19 virus has been intense, the good news is, if you're looking for good news, that the mortality rate is around 4%. So 96% of people are surviving this thing. Well, in contrast, 50% or more of people were dying from the Ebola virus when that thing took off several years ago. It was typically a death sentence. Well, on Wednesday, July 23rd, 2014, Dr. Brantley quarantined himself as he awaited his results. And his family anxiously awaited a phone call from overseas. They were not together. And as he was there, alone with his thoughts, Brantley found hope in the scriptures. Hope that God could bring rest. Rest to his mind, rest to his body, both in this life and the one to come. He read the scripture about how we should approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. And it gave him peace. He waited 3 days and then he got the news that he had tested positive for the virus. Called his wife back home and she took some time to just kind of get away to the room and process it, and she was just in tears. As you can imagine, trying to think about what her life may look like without Kent there, and trying to just navigate life with their two young kids. However, as she lay her head down that night, God brought words to mind, words of truth, words that she had learned through hymns that she sang growing up. And she began to just sing. She began to sing words like, "Thy compassion will fail not," about how every hour I need thee, and singing, "Oh, bless me now, my Savior." And thankfully, Kent ended up being in the minority of people who survived. But throughout the ordeal, they overcame fear. They overcame anxiety only by the power of God at work in them. And it's a great reminder to us that as we ourselves face quarantines and we face all kinds of restrictions, that we can go to the Word of God, that we can turn on some praise music, that we can jump on a site like westlandfmc.com or Right Now Media or whatever, and we can dive into an encouraging devotional that can really spur us on and bring some hope. God wants to infuse us with hope. Matthew 11, 29 says this, these are Jesus' words to us. He says, "Take my yoke upon you." He says, "Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart. You will find rest for your souls." He says, "For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." The burden I give you is light. Jesus tells us that he is ready and he is willing to give us rest for our souls, especially in the midst of heavy burdens. He assures us that he is willing to do the heavy lifting during these times, and that he will give us only what we can comfortably carry. Now, those are encouraging words for these days and these times. I also read a really encouraging quote this week that is very timely from A.W. Tozer. And it says this, it says, "While it looks like things are out of control behind the scenes, there is a God who has not surrendered authority. While it looks like things are out of control behind the scenes, there is a God who has not surrendered his authority." The Bible teaches that this is true, and when we are closely connected to the vine, to Jesus, we can know in our hearts that this is true. Our prayer this week is that the truths from the master teacher, that they would encourage you this week to know that God loves you. That he can provide spiritual healing as we come to him. And if we're willing to turn to him and turn away from the things of this world. And that his desire is to provide a peace that can transform our perspective regardless of our circumstances. May we remain prayerful and humble and hopeful as we look to our God in the days ahead. Let's pray. Well, God, we thank you that you are there for us, even in these moments, to teach us truth. God, and that your truth says that we are just valued beyond words to you. I pray that as our mind tries to mess with us in these days, that you would just speak words of truth and love and hope over us, about our worth, about the things that we need, that we're wondering about where they'll come from, about whatever the future holds. God, that you would just speak truth and hope into our hearts in regards to these things. God, we ask that we would be able to just even sit back and evaluate in these moments where we are with you and what steps we need to take to develop that relationship further. God, we pray that we would find hope in your word, hope in songs of praise, hope from one another. Lord, may we find the time to laugh, the time to be hopeful, to be encouraging, to be upbeat, to just reassure one another that it's going to be okay. Lord, we thank you that while things may look a bit out of control, that you have not surrendered your authority and that you will see this thing through so that it brings good for those you love. We ask these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.